Hello and welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. I am your host, James Jones, and it is June 12th, 2018, and that date means I am currently sitting in the E3 media room being a nuisance to everyone around me. I am joined today by Mr. Greg Leahy.
No, hello, everyone.
Mr. John Lindemann.
It's great to be here, James.
It's great to have you, John. And Mr. Guillaume Veillet.
A little bit disappointed I was not included in Smash, but, you know.
Everyone's included, Guillaume. Everyone is included.
Well, apparently not.
Everyone
have you been in it before?
I guess, yeah.
Logic wins again.
That's the catch, isn't it?
Logic never wins on this show, John. What are you talking about?
There's so always DLC possibilities.
That's true. Well, no, you are included. Everyone's included as Mies.
Yeah.
Everyone's included, Guillaume. That would make this episode 576, because we're going to number it, because everybody's here, so we're just going to deal with it. I'm going to have to hop out relatively early, though, because I am still working, because the E3 now never ends, because the show goes until 7 p.m. God help us. And then there's night events. So I'll have to take care of those, but we're going to get started right away. Who would care to do the news rundown, since I'm going to have to hop?
Let's see. I mean, I could do it. I have it right in front of me here.
I would greatly appreciate it.
Do you want just the whole games list?
Let's just run through them.
Okay. The first one was, now bear in mind, I may be the wrong person to do this because I'm working right now. I have been at work all day. And of course, the 9 a.m. time for this was problematic because it's in the middle of a bunch of my meetings. But the first game up was Daemon X Machina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is by the guys that did Armor Core, correct?
Or, yeah, some of them, anyway.
Armored Core? Yeah. It is. Go ahead.
No, sorry. I really don't know. I know it's some sort of collaboration, and it's Marvelous Games.
Yeah. Yes.
But, yeah, I couldn't tell you more about that, except that watching it during the show, I thought it kind of it gave me vibes of PN03.
What?
No. Is that just me? Because there was some dodging involved, some, you know, like in kind of a desertic environment.
My immediate thought was like, so there's all those X's were flashing up, and there was this thought of like, wait, are we getting a sequel to Xenoblade Chronicles X?
It's true, yeah. The X is,
but then it was mechs, and it was like, wait a minute.
But the comic book art style kind of poured cold water on that.
I have witnesses who can attest that once I saw the mech, I said, those look like Armored Core mechs. And sure enough, like those are moving like Armored Core mechs. And then it was like, oh, the guy who designed the Armored Core mechs is designing this game.
Okay, we will check if you do have the Armored Core cred that you claim.
I do. I have all. So
I remember the good old days of Four Answer being discussed on this show like 10 years ago.
Yeah, and in fact, that's the game I based it. I based those observations on. It's like, this looks like Four Answer. It's a thing.
It's an interesting way to start the direct, just with zero context. Just here's some pretty cool looking mech action. You have no idea what this is.
It's an interesting way to start the direct that will focus on games for 2018 with a game that's tentatively just 2019.
Yeah, that's
also starting with Death Metal was a bold choice.
Strong opening plays from the direct.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was something they added late. Just wanted to throw it out there. Just seems...
I've watched that trailer a couple times now because it is basically pornography for me. it's mechs. It's dumb looking mech combat. It's like, okay, we're in the wheelhouse at this point.
Mm-hmm. That sexy year of 2019. I know how it just turns you on, James.
It's so bad. moving on, because they literally showed that trailer and then have said nothing else about it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so next up was DLC for Xenoblade Chronicles 2. This is going to be, Torn of the Golden Country. It's coming out in September for Season Pass subscribers.
That's actually really exciting given what Torna is.
It's kind of a little bit analogous to like what some people thought might happen. I mean, I guess some of this has been out there with the data mining, but I haven't really looked into what was revealed through that, enterprise. But you think about what we were thinking before the Breath of the Wild story stuff expansion came out, and think about, before the Calamity, maybe. That's kind of what we're getting here, because you're talking about a very important sort of backstory event in the story of Xenoblade Chronicles 2 that you're actually going to be able to play through. And it means a Titan that is not around in the present day story. So a completely new area to explore.
And it's a lot of, like, the Xenoblade Chronicles 2's plot is constantly referencing things that happened in the past.
Yeah, especially this seems to be, there's more than one kind of big event in the past that's referenced, yeah. But this seems like
this was the last one.
Cover some of the most discussed kind of things.
Right. There's like three eras in that game that get talked about, and this was the most recent one before the one you're currently in.
Hmm. So this is a standalone expansion, right? Like, you can't get this without even the full game.
So I don't think so. They're selling it separately, which is weird and goofy. But
that's just code in a box, right?
It's just code in a box. Yeah. Yeah, so okay. I don't know. It's expensive though. Was it $30?
It was more expensive than the Zelda pass was.
Yeah. Hmm. It looks really cool though. Like that's a pretty hot trailer, but that's all we have. It's not here. The only reference to it anywhere around Nintendo is in their media section. There's a poster. That's it.
I see.
And nobody's talking about it, so yeah. This is a trend that's going to repeat itself as we continue down the list. John, what's next?
Next up is they ran through Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee,
which I've played.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really announce anything new in that, did they?
Well, they said that each one comes with the Pokeball Plus comes with the legendary Mew.
Yes. Yep. So if you want to get Mew, give us money. Mm-hmm. And I've used that. I got to use the device today.
Really? Just imagine that you're in a bathtub. Talking about
so,
that.
So I have some good news for you, John. So it's smaller than it looks. In fact, I have a picture of it. Hold on. Hold, please. Do you have your phone handy, John?
I do. I have my phone handy at all times.
All right. Well, then give me 1 second.
So I just wanted to say that purchase options available as DLC in the expansion pass or as a standalone retail version. That strikes me as, like, you can play this in the full game of Xenoblade Chronicles. So
I can't imagine playing this game without the context of what the hell they're talking about.
Because
This game would... This game would have so little value without understanding, like, the role of the Torna.
They literally say, new to the story, get the standalone version of Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Torna, the Golden Country. It's, yeah.
You can't imagine playing through with no context?
Yes, I don't know. Like, well, maybe it over-explains everything. Maybe, like, this is actually kind of a starting point. I don't know. Prequels are weird. It doesn't really work, in my opinion, starting with the prequel that was done after the main movie or game or book. And
well, that's
anyway.
Why you should always watch the Star Wars in chronological order.
And this doesn't really start at the beginning. As James says, there's big events earlier in the chronology than this. It's not really starting at the beginning or anything. It's more filling in blanks. So
right. Well, it doesn't strike me
as ideal, but
I'm
we'll
sure
see.
We'll get a pre-prequel after that. You know,
the post-prequel, the pre-postquel.
No, the pre-prequel. I mean, like, the second era that you said was discussed. Anyway, whatever. Moving on.
Anyway, yeah. But so yeah, Pokemon, Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee. They didn't want to talk much about it because I did the big blowout about a few weeks ago. You get Mew. I just sent John a picture, which hopefully he will get to enjoy.
Oh, good Lord. That's fairly small, James.
Your choices were to play it with the Joy-Con or with that, which is the Pokeball Plus. And so the Pokeball Plus is about 2 inches in diameter. It's a rubberized plastic ball. It's shaped like a Pokeball. It's got the color patterns and everything on it. And on the bottom is one button. It's a big, like, the bottom, like, fifth of it, it just is a button. You can just press it. And the top is where the little button on a Pokeball is that causes it to open and close. That is a joystick with a very short throw distance. Doesn't move very much. And it's also a clickable button. And essentially, you can play the entire game that way. You move your character around, you go through menus with that really kind of tight, short throw joystick. You press A by clicking it, and you press B, which really only seems to open the menu and close the menu. by pressing the bottom button. They told us, do not press the menu button. There are things there you are not supposed to see, which then Johnny proceeded to immediately do. And then we turned it off. He claimed it was an accident. Timing seems a little tight for that, but whatever. But basically, you can move around pretty straightforward. Like, that's why you can do it with a Joy-Con. Like, it's really a two-button game. Battles in this game are mostly just menus because they're Pokemon. So there's no video of this because they wouldn't let us take video. I don't know why. But it's still like the weird like symbol battles that we've seen from Pokemon games for forever. So it's not like direct attacks on Pokemon, but that's just menus, whatever. That's easy. It looks a little different. Looks more like a Pokemon Coliseum kind of look for the fights. Game world's still overhead, as we've seen in the video. I mean, this is one of those games where, like, if you saw the trailer, you get what it plays like. But the thing is, the catching Pokemon is just Pokemon Go. They've just cribbed Pokemon Go. There are Pokemon wandering around the field. There are big ones and small ones. You know, they have different auras around them, which is the thing from Go. There's the, like, actual manual throwing of Pokeballs at monsters. You don't fight wild Pokemon. And with the Pokeball Plus, you actually flick your wrist, and how you flick your wrist determines if you throw the ball straight or not. If you flick it hard, it goes too far. And when you actually hit, it appears to have the HD Rumble, our favorite phrase, in the Pokeball, so it moves and like vibrates, kind of like the Pokeballs do in the show. Mm-hmm. And it lights up like they do in the show, like it turns red while it's the little band around where the red and white part meet. Turns red, and when it catches, you hear it make the click noise, and then they make the Game Boy noise for that Pokemon, that horrible like brr, brr, that the ball itself makes that noise.
That's kind of cool.
And it lights up green to tell you caught it.
Now, how accurate is it engaging how far you're throwing? Like, how did that feel?
It was. I mean, it's pretty. Yeah. It's probably got the same tech in it as a Joy-Con. Mm-hmm. But it's probably more that they're just fairly forgiving. We missed a couple times throwing Pokeballs at it.
Yeah.
But, like, that's all Pokemon Go stuff. Like, the fact that you could miss on a Pokeball is such a weird, weird construct.
Yeah. Did it have anything like the rings where, like, your accuracy is gauged or anything like that?
Yeah. It had the ring where it was, like, how you're trying to make the ring as small as possible when the Pokeball hits. Mm-hmm. And then that gives you, like, different ratings. It's, like, excellent is the top rating and, like, much better chance of catching. The demo is really just Viridian Forest. You're just wandering around catching Eevees, Caterpies and stuff.
Yep.
And a couple trainer battles. But yeah, not much new they announced today. And honestly, like, that game is exactly what you have seen. Go ahead.
You can transfer over Pokemon from Pokemon Go, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
If you saw that game and thought, that looks cool, well, congratulations, that game is for you. If you saw that game and said, I don't think that's for me, it's not. Mm-hmm. That game is just what it is. What else we got?
Super Mario Party.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they got Super Mario Party. Who wants to play Super Mario Party?
I don't know, man. I think people want us to play Super Mario Party.
It had some interesting ideas. It had the Goombas without hands winning tricycle races.
Oh my god! The tricycle race motion control was
right. Yeah, but it also had some interesting kind of. It did some experimenting with like two Switch screens where you could basically modify the playing field for some sort of a overhead tank game. And
yeah.
So that was kind of interesting, and like you could see how the way that the Switch screens can tell what the configuration is that you kind of just swipe your finger across both screens. So I don't know, it's interesting.
It did seem like there was a bunch of stuff in there to prove to them that like no, this isn't just regular stuff you've been playing before. This is new and different.
Well, they were playing with some of the asymmetrical multiplayer as well that, you know, the Wii U promised. And so here, though, like you have to have two Switches, which is a pretty high cost of entry.
Yeah, it seems like it's really pushing the tabletop angle,
right?
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, like, did they even show anyone playing on TV? Maybe once? Oh, yeah, like for the tricycle game. But
yeah, they did.
Oof.
Yeah, it's. I mean, they seem to be how they cut that trailer made me think like, no, we know we're gonna make it different this time. It's gonna be better this time. But I have my reservations.
And now that game,
so there's no sign that it's online. Also,
yeah, I was gonna say that game is slated for October. Yes.
Yeah.
And so that would make it the first game that comes out kind of after first party release after the online service goes up in September, assuming they stick to that.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's Mario Party. All bets
Mario
are off.
Party.
Well, so, I mean, when you factor in a lot of this tabletop stuff, I mean, that's clearly just a local thing. But that's it doesn't seem like there were any kind of online play, it wouldn't be going to be able to capture everything that's new to this sort of experience. But
also, I feel Nintendo would tell us, like, when they play coy with that kind of stuff, it's because it's not there, right? Like,
it's not
mentioned because it's not online.
Or it's not mentioned because you won't like the answer.
Right. Yeah.
And like I said, clearly it's pushing the tabletop angle in any event. That's the principal kind of appeal they're going for in terms of this is a new wrinkle in the Mario Party kind of formula we haven't done before. Like you said, it's kind of a little bit of an extension of the Bowser stuff in Mario Party. Trying to use two screens there on Wii U, but not sure how well that went down because I didn't play it. Interesting choice, considering kind of all thought they might need something to help the online service along, but there's no evidence of that.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. If there was online in that game, maybe just for the fun of it being a misery to share with others, but like... As a, it's got to be played locally, and I get it. If they're going for all like the off-screen stuff, then I don't know that you can do what they want to do with multiplayer. But
no, it would never be the primary push, even if it were in there. So I mean, it doesn't really seem to be something that would make sense in that role.
But I'd still want it. I still want to have like a 4-hour Mario Party session where it's just us just hating each other by the end.
Just trolling. Really would be the whole thing. I mean, that's what we look for, that avenue to troll at each other.
We'll get to some trolling in a minute, but what's up next, John?
Next up is Fire Emblem Three Houses coming out in spring 2019.
So does that mean three versions?
No, it's it looks like it's the three character thing where there's three stories running in parallel.
Right. Does that mean there's three versions then?
They are not saying three versions. Again, that's something they would have to say. They would have had to have said like, yeah, there's three versions. There's no indication there's more than one version. This feels like it's more like
we've been hurt before, James. I just want to say that.
I know. This feels like it's more like the Lindis Elwood Hector thing, where it's just like there's three stories that kind of run separate for a little bit, and then they all get jammed together at the end. But there's nothing about that here. Like even less than the Torna expansion, there is nothing.
Well, it kind
here.
Of makes sense considering it is now 2019. Of course, for a good while, the window we'd been given was 2018. Mm-hmm. It seemed kind of it could sneak in based on for a good while. Xenoblade Chronicles 2 seemed almost like is it too good to be true that could actually sneak into 2017, but it did, right at the back end that they did follow through with that. So it's kind of thinking maybe Fire Emblem, even though we hadn't seen anything really of it, might sort of pull the same trick at the back end of this year. But with Smash Brothers coming out in December and perhaps development, they want to take their time to get it right. It's not a huge surprise that it's going into 2019, and then by extension that they're not going to spend a great deal of time on it for this show.
No, I would have liked to have seen just a little bit more, though, because it looks like there's some ideas in there that are different. And in fact, the press material talks about it a little bit. But even then, it's in broad terms. So I don't really know. It would be really cool to see it though, because it looks neat.
Yeah, the trailer was impressive in a number of ways. You know, certainly a, kind of a more sweeping kind of look at the battlefield than we've had before in the franchise.
And there's armies, which is different.
So does that mean it's going to work like, you know, Advance Wars and that, the you know, like once your army can actually, like, your numbers can dwindle and...
like unclear, because they didn't give us any info on the stupid game. These are the kinds of things that make me craziest. That and the mech game where it's like, here's the thing, and we're going to show it briefly, and you're going to get excited, and then we're not going to talk about it for a year. We call that Metroid Prime 4. Mm-hmm. Although the answer is more than a year now because they aren't talking about it right now. So.
Yeah, that doesn't come as any surprise really, given you know what was and what was not shown of that last year. It's
they're always very much like we don't want to muddy the waters. We don't want people to they control the buzz, right? So they don't want people talking about Metroid Prime 4 at the expense of talking about other things.
It more than anything makes it makes it clear that they talked about Metroid Prime 4 last year because they had to because of Metroid.
Because of the 3DS. If that 3DS game wasn't coming out, there's a good chance we wouldn't have been seeing that logo when we did.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
It also tells you that it's probably at least a year away from being released.
I think we all kind of agree that is it very likely was all that existed of that game.
Yeah.
Was that trailer? I mean, obviously they had stuff, design and plan stuff going, but like that was the first finished product of that game. Was that trailer? Mm-hmm.
So, do we think that Metroid Prime 4 or Pikmin 4 is coming out first?
I think they're being combined into one game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna release sometime in 2060, and it's gonna come out after Pikmin 5, mm-hmm. Which is also done, by the way. Just so you know. Actually, the problem is Pikmin 5, 6, and 7 are all done, but 4 isn't finished yet, so they're just kind of sitting on it. Mm-hmm. It's you gotta get the chronology out right.
Maybe they should release it later and as a prequel.
There you go.
Yeah, in interquel.
Yes. It'll be everything. It is, unfortunately. So what's next, up next, John?
Next
up,
exactly. Next up, Fortnite. Subject of many leaks,
including one Nintendo leaked themselves.
Yes,
it's out now, isn't it?
It is out now. In fact, I'll download it when I get home, I think.
So I'm going to give you all an observation about Fortnite right now.
It's popular.
It is an open question how many booths have Fortnite in it right now. I say open because I don't know that anyone knows. It's in at least three, mm-hmm. including the Fortnite booth. Which is huge.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's gigantic.
Yeah.
There's a full-size bus in it.
Wow.
It's bigger than the Capcom booth.
Which is kind of funny, because why would you go to E3 and play Fortnite?
I don't know.
Like, same thing with, like, you know, Battlegrounds. Why would you go to E3 and play that? I'm sure there's a Battlegrounds booth somewhere. Why would you play it there?
I haven't found it yet, if it's here.
It might have new maps or whatever, but I mean, why?
It's probably the Microsoft fan experience.
Yeah. Yeah,
which I haven't been into yet. It's quite probable that, you know, this is a situation where because it's open to the public now, this isn't about getting your news out. This is about getting promotion.
Yeah,
and
sure.
They don't really care if anybody actually plays it. They see the big dumb battle bus, which, by the way, we now have a clean audio of Reggie saying the phrase battle bus.
We was going to have to wait for Reggie to run for public office to hear that, but there you go.
out on the campaign trail is what you're saying, Greg?
Yes.
Yeah. We're on the battle bus, and we're gonna go through all the primary states.
Yeah, people holding signs, my body is ready.
Jeez. Stranger things have happened.
Anyway, Fortnite is a pretty big get, I suppose. Like, it's only like the biggest game ever at this point.
It's the biggest game going right now. Yeah. It seems to play pretty well. So we'll see.
Crossplay as well with PC and Xbox One. So
indeed. Not if you've ever used your account on a PS4.
Yeah. Right. Oh, really?
Yeah. Sony decided to block the any kind of Yeah, compatibility with other consoles. So if you've built up your levels or character or whatever on the PlayStation 4, or if you've linked your PlayStation 4 to your Fortnite account, then yeah, like you got to start over. You got to create a new account.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
It's really bad. Nuts.
I mean, I know Sony was doing that, but the fact that like you have to, that it basically start kicks over. Kicks you out if you're already linked with the PS4 account is pretty crazy.
And so the message you get, like, it pretty much lays that on the line, who's responsible for this.
Right, like they step short of giving you the phone number for Sony's customer service, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people salty about that.
But not much short, like they give you 8 of the 10 digits. Yeah. Yeah. One of them's a 1, so.
Is it 555-3226?
It is.
That's Mr. Plough's phone number, by the way.
That's the deepest cut we've done ever out of the Simpsons. Like, we've done some deep Simpsons cuts, but that's in there.
So somebody will hear you say that and they'll be like, wait a minute, that's Mr. Plow. All right, Greg, that's Mr. Plow.
I don't know, unless it was Barney's rival Plow service.
The Plow King.
They melded together in my mind.
At one point I had the opportunity to buy a Mr. Plow jacket and I did not. And I regret it immensely.
Yeah. All right, next up is Overcooked 2. This is where they went into the indie games. Next up, Overcooked 2.
Again, a subject of a leak, but cool. Like, who here's played Overcooked? You played it, right, Guillaume?
Yeah, I played it. It's really good, and this one looks even better. It seemed to run well. Like, they were playing it for a little bit on the Treehouse feed, and there seemed to be a lot going on. Like, they had the level where you're in a hot air balloon in a tornado. And so, you know, like lots of stuff going on at once, and the frame rate seemed good. Like the game seemed to hold together. So it almost seems like it's maybe even more optimized for Switch than the first game was. So
I mean, this was its reveal, so I would assume they've really put the effort on this version.
Right. Yeah. But it looks like more Overcooked.
Yeah. I'm hoping to play that tomorrow. We have a second Nintendo booth event. We just didn't have enough time to get through all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was coming out August 7th.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Next one up was Killer Queen Black, which I believe we've talked about already at some point.
We talked about it in the leak.
Briefly. Yeah.
It's been getting some positive buzz around here. Again, we haven't had a chance to get our hands on it yet.
But it's another multiplayer-focused game, right?
So
kind of a sport, 2D sport kind of thing.
It's like they referred to it as like Joust plus strategy. It's weird, and watching people play it is very strange looking. But I'm excited to get a chance at it.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
It looks like a good fit though.
Next up is Hollow Knight, which includes all the DLC.
Yes, I got a text from somebody who's a huge Hollow Knight fan, going like, "Have you played it yet?" I'm like, "It's not here. No. I can't play it."
But you can buy it.
And it comes out now. Yeah. So, no, I haven't. You could play it. You could play it and tell me how it is.
You could be playing it right now instead of chatting with me.
But I can't because I'm on a convention center Wi-Fi.
This is one of those games that came out in like February 2017, and I think it saw good, you know, healthy sales, but I think it's one of those games that just made a lot of people say, like, you know what, I'm going to wait for it to come on the Switch. So over a year later, finally, it's here.
It's finally happened.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
I'm excited. I'll play it.
All right, and then they switched back to Octopath Traveler, which apparently has a new demo coming out on June 14th.
Also, it comes out on like June 24th. So
yeah, don't really know why they have the new demo out there.
July, okay,
it's July when it's coming out, middle of July, I believe.
Okay, it's a little ways.
And this time, they I think still acknowledging the proximity to the actual release, we have stated that there would be things, progress that carries over to the retail version.
Cool.
Right.
This demo. So presumably all those sort of fixes and adjustments that they mentioned from the survey feedback that they got on the first demo will be present in this so close to completion. So if you played the original demo and thought there's a few things here that bother me, this demo may address those or may not, depending on what bothered you.
All right, and then next up they had Dragon Ball FighterZ, or FighterZ as they say in Britain,
Yeah. That makes no sense at all.
What? I fucking...
It's coming out in October 2018.
Oh my god. Yeah, they call it Fighter Zed.
So yeah. This is an Ubisoft game,
this
right?
Where you like... learn to fight.
No, this is Bamco.
Oh, so this is not just like one of those new like babies games or dogs or
no,
cats.
No, this is the game that came out. Yes. Yes, this is you raise your Saiyans and you give them lots of love and attention and you play with them and you feed them and then they go and they kill purple space conquering aliens. And
nice.
And then they die and you get to wish them back. I've pretty much summarized the entire plot of Dragon Ball, so we're good. Mm-hmm. At some point they turn into God, so that's fine. That'll happen too. It's okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we should all be so lucky as to raise a planet-destroying god.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. It's one of those games that just seemed to... that people just latched on to really, really quickly on the esports scene, I suppose, which I know nothing about, so I don't even know what I'm saying right now.
People like how it feels,
yeah.
And it's a very, very popular franchise that is going through a little bit of a renaissance because of the most recent series as being well-received.
Right, but it's also like one of the very few Dragon Ball games that is actually that actually plays good. Right.
Yeah, like people like Xenoverse games, but they don't play like fighting games. This is a good fighting game. There's been a lot of Dragon Ball fighting games, and most of them are terrible.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This one is really good because the team making it is the team that does all of those awesome Arxis games. So, okay.
Yeah.
Next up, speaking of fighting games, you had something called Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
This is it. This was the big reveal. Mm-hmm. This ate up more than half of the press conference time or the direct time.
Yeah.
Because Sakurai came out and then trolled for like 30 straight minutes.
It's weird. It's as if like I didn't really pay attention to them. But was there something called like Melee Diaries or something, or like there was like one fact about like the
that
Smash
was,
Brothers
was
game?
The run up to Brawl you're thinking of.
To
yeah.
Brawl.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's
Smash
as if
Dojo.
It's as if they intended to do that, but then decided like, no, we're going to give all that information that in one like yeah in this presentation. So like
yeah,
every time that they announce like one character, they would say something about like something new about them or.
Yeah, it's a little observation. It's a weird right. one. It's somebody who hungrily ate up all those Smash Dojo daily updates 10 years ago.
Especially when they were at like nothing.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's just like, here's the banana. It's back. See you tomorrow. You know, like,
but I
still
like...
kept checking every day. I loved it because I love Smash Brothers. I'm always really excited in the run up to new games, and this is kind of information, you know, like the little things and all that. Like, I'm quite happy to find out about that because, you know, I play Smash Brothers. I've played it, you know, some version of it on a regular basis. You know, going back to 99, like it's just like it's going to become part of the wallpaper. So I want to know like all the minutiae and all that. I don't know whether I'd necessarily notice all of it myself without it being pointed out to me, but I still like to know. But
they sure did this time.
This is not really the forum for it. I mean, for instance, who among us would think that they won't be doing another like dedicated Smash Brothers Direct sometime before it comes out, like they did on Wii U, where it's like 40-something facts about Smash Brothers for Wii U. It's... You know, like that will happen. And that's yeah. the appropriate venue for this sort of thing. So, in the one sense, you know, it didn't really kind of bother me in terms of like, yeah, I want to know everything there is to know about the next Smash Brothers. So I'm really excited about it. But on the other hand, the more sort of dispassionate, detached view of it that I have is like, this is not the right, this is not the time for this.
Yeah,
sort
it's
of
like,
stuff.
Are you filling time? Like, is
it's
this
just
padding,
more bird's
or...
eye view things?
Yeah.
Considering the sort of bang, 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 bang that they were doing early with these games that like, I want to know more about them. Like, this felt like languishing here. When
and I mean,
like...
admittedly, this is a feature of many directs or digital events, all the different names they've had, not just E3 ones over the years,
sure.
where it's kind of like, you know, we're going to go very rapid pace on some things, and then we're going to kind of have a more feature title and things feel like they bog down. You know, we've had these kinds of reactions before, but this was, even in that history, in that context,
language,
was quite the dichotomy, you know, and just felt like it was taking it a bit too far. You know, like I said, I think there's a perfectly good time and place to divulge this kind of stuff to get people who really love Smash Brothers excited, but this massive sort of showpiece occasion is not it.
Let me counter that, though, with one really important piece of information. In the new game, if you hit Olimar hard, his helmet will crack.
But then
worry.
Quickly repairs itself because it's
it quickly repairs itself.
Magic hookitation material or whatever.
It's so weird. Like the entire segment, like it felt like setting up his own jokes every so often. He's like, oh, now we're gonna go through the characters that are back, and it's like number one, Mario, number 13. And I was like, are they really cutting this thing really short? And then he just keeps going, and then finally he just goes all of them. And then it's
I like the way it was basically when they showed Snake that it's like, okay, yeah, it's all of them. And that kind of made sense. Well, if he's back, yeah, God, they must really have everyone back.
Yeah. Bring Snake's old ass out.
It's just like, okay, he knows what he's doing. Okay, this is fine. And here's the thing. So I've played it, obviously. I've played it four rounds now, so two sets of two. Two-player and four-player. And this is Smash for Wii U. Like it in many ways, I am struggling to differentiate it from its predecessor when I'm in playing. Obviously, there's content that's not in that game. This game has everybody, for better or worse. They're all here.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you know, when the subject of Smash Brothers was first brought up for Switch, kind of had that question of maybe it'll be Smash for Wii U and sort of smushed together with Smash for 3DS, the other stuff that was particular to that version, quite a number of stages, maybe like a mode or two, and then kind of get that all up to speed, the same speed in terms of the graphics and all that, and then release that, in one package. But this it seems like it is that, but also like all the characters ever, which includes characters that were not in the most recent games for Wii U and 3DS, but also so many stages that haven't been around for ages.
Oh yeah, and we have some video of a bunch of stages that are new or are showing up for the first time in a while. We did Saffron City, which is like an N64 stage.
Yeah, and that's what I mean, because some N64 stages came back as DLC for Smash Wii U 3DS. Not really changed in any way. They hadn't really updated them or made them prettier, but they were there. But that wasn't one of them. And then especially some of the Melee stages have got plenty of fond memories of that I hadn't seen in a long time, like the Great Bay, from Majora's Mask, and the Big Blue F-Zero. I always like that for the pure chaos value. I'm sure you're looking forward to putting Bellows on that stage.
So we did the Spirit Track stage, which is a 3DS stage, and it's now it looks good, looks very good. It is absolute pandemonium, and with the explosions and stuff going on, and it seems like the Smash Balls turned way up in this demo. It was a shit show, and it was beautiful, and I loved it. And Gus Bellows on Spirit Tracks. The spirit of Gus Bellows will be a problem for everyone.
Gus Bellows fellows, join us.
Yeah,
join us.
The train ride to Gus Bellows fellows. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting announcement. We have some new characters. Obviously, they Kraid's in for some reason.
Not Kraid. Ridley is too big, James.
Yeah, and here's the thing. So Ridley is too big. Like, playing him, it's like, no, he really is too big. Like, Sakurai was right the first time. He shouldn't be here. He's too big. Ridley is a bad character for this. Because he's got, like, a charge, a down B charge that turns into a throw. That's devastating. And he's huge. It does a ton of damage. It's like, oh, meh. And he can. So he's like Bowser who can fly. It's like, oh, this is...
That's
this
a little like Charizard, of course. Charizard, I guess, is like not his own character anymore. He's been demoted back.
He's been folded back in
the Pokemon trainer.
He feels a little bit like Charizard. And maybe that's it. They just said, okay, we'll just turn Charizard into this thing. Which we have the what's it, the E forms?
Sigma, Echo forms, the clones.
The Echo forms,
basically.
Which is just, they just now have a word for clones. They're supposed to just calling them clones. They didn't announce any new clones, but that may be just be
setting
the stage.
Oh, they did, Daisy.
Oh, yes. That's right. They did announce Daisy, which set the Nintendo World of Port forms on fire because there's a bunch of weird Daisy deviants in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of like Daisy butt in that forum.
There is. There you go.
Daisy
Deviants can be your episode title if you write the article for me, John. it's weird. Like it's weird. We talked about like when would this be too late to just release this game again? And the answer in my after playing it, like, and not feeling super amped up, maybe it's now. Maybe it's right now, because like I walked away from that going like, this is Smash 4. Okay. I like Smash 4. And I didn't walk away going like, I need to get back in line and play that again. I walked away going like, Nintendo's lines suck. I wonder how I'm going to see anything else today.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it's good. Like, it's really good. And when we played 4-player, it was really fun. And you're going to watch the videos of us playing, and it's going to look like Pandemonium, because it is. Because this is still a good game. It's like, there's never been a situation where we're looking at a Smash game and going like, this is a fairly minor revision to what we've had before. And I think that's, in my brain, I'm kind of like trying to roll that over.
So Smash Brothers Wii U Deluxe.
Yeah, it feels, I mean, they have made changes, and they said they've made 10,000 changes, and they felt like listing all of them in that video. Mm-hmm. But like it, and you know, I was playing as Cloud for a bit, and having his limit gauge be visible is a useful tool.
There seems to be some pretty sensible changes there, but it is kind of relatively subtle stuff by the look of it.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like Street Fighter 2 versus Street Fighter 2 Turbo or Hyper Fighting or Champion Edition, right, or whatever.
I mean, Hyper Fighting and Champion Edition are pretty big changes. Like this is like, it's still good. Like I don't know. It's like, mm-hmm. I should be more excited about it.
That's it. For me, Smash Brothers is a staple. So anytime you can get it on the hardware that I'm using the most right now, which is undoubtedly the Switch, and with more characters, more items, especially the stages, I'm really kind of pleased to see. And, significantly kind of prettier than you've seen them before. The Melee Peach's Castle is like way... That was always like a relatively realistic sort of version of the Princess Peach's Castle from Mario 64, but now it's like actually that rather than, what passed for that in the GameCube era.
Right. So anything y'all want to ask about real quick before I have to step out?
Nothing. I don't have anything. Was there anything? Wasn't there a game announced at Treehouse?
I don't know. If there was a game announced at Treehouse, we haven't seen it.
No, nothing that I'm aware of.
There was that Ninja Law game that led the direct.
Yeah, but that's also a 2017. What am I saying? 2019 game. Yeah, it's by Gung Ho.
Okay. All right.
I've only able to kind of check in intermittently with the direct, but obviously a lot of it, there was a lot of the Smash Brothers tournament, which had some kind of fun moments and whatnot, but there was no advance on details they'd already provided for that game or another game or anything like that. We've kind of got used to it at this point, things getting talked about, obviously Samus Returns last year and some other cases in previous years, but if it's gonna happen, I guess it's not today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we did play the Ninja Law, whatever it's called, and like that game, holy crap, like they have the guidebook on like what made, like somebody who sat down and broke down why was Splatoon popular, and they went hard. Like even the menus, you're like, these are Splatoon menus. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
The other thing, I guess, that's come out subsequently is the Octo expansion on the subject of Splatoon is coming out tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
which is sooner than we thought, because hadn't there been some kind of listings or things briefly suggesting it would be in July or so, you know. Yeah. So it is a bit sooner than we was expecting, but I probably will get that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm. Should we list stuff that third parties announced, or?
Well, yeah, I think you should, but I got to drop. So, okay. If you guys have questions, just text me, and I will try to answer them while y'all are still recording. But I have an appointment to get to, so I will talk to everyone later.
All right, man.
So real quick summation. A lot of impressions audio will be on the site. This will be edited into videos, and I think they're going to put it on the connectivity feed. I don't know. But there'll be articles at attendworldreport.com, and our impressions will start going up tonight. We just haven't had a chance to write anything yet.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for helping me just drop out right now. I apologize for the sudden change of plans.
All right. All good, man.
All right.
Go work.
Cool.
Bye. See you, man.
Bye.
Yeah, so I guess for third-party stuff, I mean, I guess one of the biggest announcements was Starlink, Battle for Atlas. By Ubisoft?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go through the NWR announcements kind of in reverse order. Like before right. even the Ubisoft thing, we learned that Tales of Vesperia was going to come out on the mm-hmm. Switch. Mm-hmm. So Bethesda announced The Elder Scrolls Legends to Switch, which is a card game.
That's a John yep. prediction for quite a while, that one. That one of those games was going to get on.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought it would be Hearthstone, but yeah, I should have known Bethesda would throw their hat in the ring.
They've generally been sort of more pioneering with Switch than others.
For sure, yeah. Yep.
Fallout Shelter came out last night on the Nintendo Switch, which is a mobile game that... So it came out last night on the Switch and PS4. So the big announcement was that they were bringing it to consoles. It's a free-to-play game, kind of a clicker thing where, you know, timers go down and meters go up. That's pretty much it. So Devolver showed a trailer for My Friend Pedro, a kind of a weird, like, I don't know, like 2D action game where you've got this dude who's very athletic, like does gymnastic moves and also, you know, dual wields guns. And so like you're just kind of rampaging through these, I don't know, these bunkers or something. And there seems to be a lot of, you know, cool looking violence that you can inflict on people. You know,
does it have any birds? Is it that job woo or is it not?
I have not seen the doves.
Sometimes it's pigeons. It depends on the circumstances.
Right, whatever they have on hand. no, it involves a sentient banana though, so I don't know how that plays into it. But yeah,
I forget. Like, it depends on your feelings on Dolph Lundgren, doesn't it? Really, whether a film was involved. He went to MIT, by the way. I'm not impugning his intellect, just his acting ability.
Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, and you could see, like, you can ride on a skateboard and then like kick the skateboard into someone's face and. I don't know. It looked very violent, but yeah, it could be fun. Other than that, Limited Run. They've announced a bunch of physical versions of various games, some of which already had a physical version, but it looks like they're kind of helping out kind of smaller indies or smaller developers to restock, I suppose, or, you know.
Yeah, Limited Run are what you'd expect them to be from the name. Like, it won't, there won't be that many of these. It's
right.
Like a pressing, and then they don't like, and they're not exclusive or anything, so somebody else could come along and do another pressing, like, another day if they wanted to, I guess.
Right, but for, like, they've mostly been publishing PS Vita and PS4 games, and the way it works with those usually is that, you know, they'll print 5,000 copies, 6,000, and you got to pre-order as soon as the pre-order goes up, if you want one. For the Switch, starting with Thimbleweed Park, they've actually kind of opened pre-orders, and they say that, you know, like, they keep printing as many as they get pre-orders.
So they actually kind of gauge the demand a bit more actively before they commit to the number.
Exactly. So, but you know, like, once the pre-order window is over, usually it's like 3 weeks or something or so, Then yeah, like you're screwed. If you wanted the game and you didn't buy it, then like the price for Thimbleweed Park on Switch went up immediately. Like now it's like 90 bucks a copy or something. Mm-hmm. So you got to be on the ball for to get those. But yeah, they've announced Dust and Elysian Tail, which was kind of a highly regarded, what's that game called? Muramasa Like, I suppose. Am I thinking of the right game?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was, it's kind of Metroidvania-ish, but with a big focus on melee combat. They've announced Humble Hearts, which is a game by the Never Stop Sneaking developers. They are also publishing Cosmic Star Heroine, a game that, has had a lot of trouble getting kind of greenlit by Nintendo, it seems, and the Zeboid Games like kept tweeting at Nintendo and at people who work at Nintendo, like, please let me, port my game to Switch. And so Limited Run Games is actually publishing that. So, like, I get, like, physical and also as a download. So that's interesting.
Johnny's been a big fan of those games from that developer, go back with the Cthulhu RPG or whatever I remember speaking about.
Cthulhu Saves the World, and
that's right, that's the one.
Yeah, they've also worked on some of the episodes of the Penny Arcade game.
Yes.
So that's coming out in August on the eShop with a physical release that's yet to be announced. Oceanhorn is one of those games that I think already had a physical release, but they're, publishing that again. And, Night Trap is coming out. I think we already knew about that.
They did already speak about that. That reminds me, I've kind of meant to bring this up. I think it's in July that's happening, quite soon. Mm-hmm. So, yes, all the things about, the all the drama that went down in the early 90s and Howard Lincoln saying they wouldn't, but night stuff like Night Trap wouldn't be on Nintendo consoles as long as he drew breath or whatever nonsense. But I look at it slightly differently. I just, when it comes to July, we're going to live in a world where Night Trap has been on a Nintendo platform, but something like Symphony of the Night hasn't. And for all the stuff that happens these days and you're like, oh wow, we're really in the most bizarro timeline or whatever, like this one takes the cake. No, this is wrong. This is very wrong and needs to be addressed suddenly.
Well, first Konami puts Bomberman as a trophy in Smash, and then they can get to work on porting Symphony of the Night to the Switch. But, they've got limited resources, so...
Yeah, it's priorities, man. Priorities.
Yeah. Thumper is coming out July 20th in physical form. Ukulele, finally getting cartridge. I think a lot of people were waiting for that. That's coming out in August. And Golf Story is coming out in September with a collector's edition. And also Layers of Fear, a horror game, obviously. That's also, it's been on the eShop for a while, but that's getting a release in October. So pretty much like one game a month from them. With two games in August, actually. So forget what I just said. After Limited Run, there was the Ubisoft event. So now we can talk about Just Dance 2019 coming to Switch, Wii, and Wii U. In October.
Yes. That's really what I wanted to talk about. The whole like Starlink stuff, that was just a Trojan horse.
Yes.
Really, I just wanted to talk about Just Dance.
So I had the sound off for most of the E3 stuff that I watched. And so I saw that there was a, what was it, like a bear? I can't remember. It was some sort of mascot dancing for Just Dance.
Yeah, I didn't watch this, but I feel like I should have now.
Mm. Yeah, I've just seen images of this. I assume it makes more sense with the sound off than on, so I'm just going to keep living in that reality.
Yeah.
It's your choice. I respect that choice, Greg.
So when you're not dancing, you can be crashing with your motocross in Trials Rising, mm-hmm. which is coming to, it was announced for every platform, including Switch. Trials was like this kind of XBLA darling on the Xbox 360. And it's from the developers of, why can't I remember the name right now?
Moto Heroes. Yeah, we did that as a retroactive game. Yes. Although I always, like John pronounced it on purpose as Moto Heroes, which I think it is, if you spell it wrong,
yes,
you deserve to get it pronounced like that.
Yeah, that is how they say it in Britain as well, Greg. How are you?
Yes. No, we say Moto Heroes apparently, according to you.
Heroes Zed.
What about?
God. Yeah, I mean, I like the Trials games, so be curious to see how this one turns out.
Yeah, well, it looked very much like, I don't know, like the Ubisoft event was really weird, and I think that the guy who announced it first, like, came into the venue. He was actually on a motocross.
Like dressed up like Evel Knievel, right?
Right, so he motocrossed between the seats and everything, like between the aisle, in the aisle, anyway, and went on stage, and I think claimed to be like the Prime Minister of Finland, or I don't know, wherever the game comes from, the developer is based. So, yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's, you know, the same people, the same developer, so it looks like, I would be surprised if they screwed it up.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good formula, you know. They can probably, it's kind of like the Track Mania games. It's kind of hard to screw up that formula. They can just keep kicking those out until the end of time, probably. And
right.
People will still buy them. So.
Right. So Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle Donkey Kong Adventure was announced, and you had who was it? It was not David Wise. It was Grant Kirkhope.
Yes, he's a composer for that game.
Okay, so Grant Kirkhope was on stage, directing the music while the trailer played. So it's a nice trailer. So look it up. It looks like more Mario plus Rabbids. It still looks good. And yes, finally, Starlink was shown. We knew about this game from last year. It had been announced for Switch last year. The toy aspect of it was also shown last year. What was new this year is that they're adding the Star Fox team to the Switch version. And yeah, they trotted out Miyamoto for this on stage.
Yeah. Yep.
To be fair, that's like an annual thing now with Ubisoft and Miyamoto. They're going to have to come up with something like real excuse next year. We're adding Captain Falcon to Just Dance, and this requires me and my own presence.
Yeah, I mean, this looks, I mean, it's a toy to life game, but I mean, the R-Wing looks cool. The little Star Fox, like, you know, figurine looks cool. So.
Yeah, I wonder how the toy thing works. Like, I hope that you don't have to buy, you know, like 100 different pieces. I don't know, like, but I don't suppose that the game comes with like everything you need to customize your ship, does it? They're gonna want to, like, the whole point of this is to milk it, right?
Sure, yeah, kind of like you have presumably a kind of starter bundle, and then if the people are really getting into it, there's gonna be more stuff for them to buy. But I'm not familiar with all the interactions between the physical kind of side of the product and the actual game.
Right. So I'm looking. I actually clicked the news item now. So the starter pack is $75 US, and it includes a Fox and the R-Wing, and as well as another ship, a pilot, three weapons, a controller mount, and a poster. Wow, a poster. Packs of with pilots will be $8, weapons $10, and spaceships that include a starship, a pilot, and a weapon will be $25. Jeez, okay. So yeah, they're milking this. But the game itself looks kind of cool. Like, they had a lot of, story stuff and in the trailer, and it looks super corny and not very good, kind of like, you know, very much like a Saturday morning cartoon level kind of thing, but not a good cartoon, you know, like one of those French cartoons that they play with during the summer.
I know that, like, all too well.
Yeah, with like the super rescue team or whatever, and you're like, should this be a brand? Like, how come I'm not watching Marvel right now?
Guys, it's just a little bit off brand.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the gameplay, I don't know, as much as you can tell from a trailer, looks decent. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I could see that the trailer looks very smooth. The Star Fox specific trailer seemed to have a lesser frame rate. Maybe I'm just reading too much into this, but it looks like maybe the Star Fox trailer is more indicative of how the game will perform on the actual Switch hardware. I don't know. Beyond that, Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot. He's like a cockroach. Like, he never really dies now. He just shows up on random. He just shows up everywhere now.
When I'm playing, he dies a lot. I'm not very good at that game. Other than that, I guess we've pretty much gone through most stuff, except there was kind of a reel that just, you know, rapid-fired game announcements. Mm-hmm. But also, like, it showed us, like, Sushi Striker and stuff like that. So if
Monster Hunter was in there, right?
Monster Hunter was in there. It's it's like the kind of the upgraded version of the last 3DS game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Generations Ultimate. That's right, yep. Man. Yep.
Okay. But also, we already knew about this, but Wasteland 2 is coming. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's a few months out. The trailer said fall 2018. So, but like the developer in exile on their Facebook page said that they were basically just working out the bugs, and that could be as as early as 2 months from now. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty excited about that, actually. Like, it's Wasteland is by, like, In Exile has a lot of former Black Isle developers in it, and so it's kind of, and also Wasteland, the first game, was the precursor to Fallout. So in mm-hmm. a way, Wasteland 2 is kind of the unofficial kind of sequel, like if to Fallout 2, you know, the actual Fallout franchise was bought by Bethesda and did their thing with it, but then mm-hmm. you've got also the Wasteland franchise. That's I don't know. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at it. It's on Xbox Game Pass. I was just actually looking at it last night, and it got good reviews from everybody. I mean, they were like, "This game is really cool." There's a lot of side quests and stuff like that, and you know, the it's kind of like turn-based battles, and kind of almost like a like strategy, you know, tactical RPG kind of thing. Yeah. And there's all kinds of secrets and stuff like that. So I mean, I have never really heard anything bad about Wasteland 2. And yeah, the newest version is, like, I'm assuming that it's like the director's cut, because that's the one that's like out there now. And they said that they've made a lot of improvements on that one. So,
oh, cool.
Compared to the
probably,
first game. So.
Yeah, probably something that plays better with a gamepad, I suppose. Like something more for consoles. No, that's really cool. It's just like, you got to know what you're getting into, though. Like, if you've only played the Bethesda Fallout games, like, it's not first person. It's not, there's no kind of real time element to it, really. It's more of a traditional PC RPG, and
like Pillars of Eternity, kind of like Baldur's Gate, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
In the fall, we're also getting The World Ends With You. The kind of the Switch version that's based, as far as I know, on the mobile version, which of course is based on the DS version. So
another former retroactive game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like we've been doing that feature for 9 years.
You would think,
crazy.
Right?
Crazy.
Yep.
Arena Valor, which is a MOBA by Tencent. I've got no idea.
Yeah, I mean, again, a huge game, but not big in the West, really. At this point.
Dark Souls Remastered is reconfirmed for summer.
Say it's summer, so I'm thinking September would be, about as late as you could go, would it still be considered summer. I'd be surprised if it was before September.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty much it. The news that is, you know, that's shown by its absence. I think I just translated a French idiom that's not meant to be translated, but
it still works.
Okay, so Yoshi delayed into 2019.
Yoshi completely absent. Bit of a surprise, that one, considering it was at last year's E3, and you know, so you kind of feel like, well, then it if we're dealing with you know, stuff that's relatively brief kind of time horizon, or you know, 2018 stuff, or early 19 at the latest, that Yoshi still could have got in there, even if it had slipped like Fire Emblem. But they've chosen not to show it. Not unprecedented, of course. The Yoshi's, what became Yoshi's Woolly World, was shown incredibly early with Wii U in a direct, and then it went dark for years. You know, and by the time it came out, Wii U was on its last legs. But of course, your circumstances are different now. We don't typically think they'd talk about that kind of thing way ahead of time when the things are going well, as they have been with Switch.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if I think by all accounts, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze is doing really well.
Yeah, and Kirby as well. Kirby has done more than 500,000 in Japan alone, which is pretty good on that basis. Mm-hmm. So you do wonder whether it's a case of, like, maybe we're better off releasing Yoshi next year in a similar kind of release window to those two games, rather than jamming it in, you know, in the same year span as those two games, and then, you know, alongside some of the bigger hitters that they're going to have, like Smash Brothers and Pokemon.
Yeah. Right, and you don't know what else might have moved out as well, leaving a gap there. You know, maybe there was something else got moved, and so they were like, "Well,
a gap opened up in 2019 with a game getting kicked deeper into that year that we don't even know about yet."
Yeah,
that they're now eyeing Yoshi to be this. I mean, look, you're totally speculating how much of it is, you know, development driven, how much of it is kind of you know, calendar driven. But it is unusual for something to be, you know, shown and playable, you know, demoed quite extensively on Treehouse last year, and then it disappears, even though this is, you know, supposed to, you know, as recently as the last, like, investors briefing or whatever, it's on the schedule for 2018. So this is kind of supposed to have been a few months before it would emerge, and then it's, you know, nowhere to be seen. But I mean, I would have thought if it was going to make this year, that could have been a good late summer pick rather than, you know, deep into the year when the really big hitters come out. And so maybe that's what, if it couldn't make that, then it'd be better being early next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. I think that's pretty much it. How do we feel about this?
Well, I suppose there is one other absence, which isn't really an absence, but, you know, I mean, so much of this run-up was kind of...
Are you going to go to, like, Waluigi and Smash?
No, I'm not. Just so much of the run-up
I've already seen
E3
the memes pop up
was dominated by, you know, kind of leaks or rumors or all this kind of stuff. And of course, something that didn't materialize was Star Fox Grand Prix concept that we saw reported earlier. So
I'm wondering if
about
that...
Star Fox in Starlink, but nothing else.
I say that Rare saw Sonic Racing and, you know, blinked. Like, they just, like, yeah, no, we can't stand
retro,
against...
It's a... I mean, I've been guilty of conflating them, because it's getting kind of ridiculous now. If they're actually going to, you know, go from, like, DKC to Diddy Kong Racing kind of remixes, they really are treading the same ground as Rare. But, no, it's interesting that, you know, nothing... Or, you know, like, an alternative project that would have been attached to Retro Studios, we didn't see that either. So, at least we haven't so far, unless they're going to... Sabrio is the night of the 12th, so, I mean, there's still time in the show to come. We'll see if there are any. They certainly have broken news on Treehouse after the big presentation is over in past years, so we'll have to see, but it would not appear so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see if they announce anything else on Treehouse. I think we'll at least get something else, maybe another 3DS game or something like that. you know?
It's possible. Yeah, like they definitely stayed away from 3DS announcements and the event itself, and it's the kind of thing that they save for the post show or the treehouse. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do we feel about this E3? Like to me, like the E3 leaks really kind of took the surprise out of the whole event, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I guess I got exactly what I expected because I had been told what to expect.
Some of that was not even leaked. Some of that was the way the things were handled by, the actual first parties involved. Pokemon, right. They chose to show that before E3, although it did also get leaked before even that event. Mm-hmm. And Smash was teased before. It wasn't as if the blowout on Smash came when we weren't expecting anything of the sort. You know, we'd already had the Splatoon Inklings trailer, so we knew we were in for a lot more Smash Brothers information, and it was just a case of how much they were going to show, what kind of sort of game it's going to be, and when it would be coming out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Megaton was probably intended to be Fortnite, but by the time the show rolled around, that was no surprise whatsoever. It's like, yep, okay, we know Fortnite's coming, yep. When usually, if we didn't know that, we'd be like, wow, that's such a huge deal. Oh, and it's available today, what? You know, but now it's just like, right. Okay, yeah, we knew it was coming, and it's available today. Oh, okay, that's cool. Next, you know? So it did kind of take some of the air out of the balloon, for sure. Like all those leaks across the board. I mean, you had, Pete Hines talking about Walmart Canada and how he'd like to thank Walmart Canada for, announcing stuff. And, their
Pete
low
Hines
prices.
Pete Hines is Bethesda.
Yeah, Bethesda.
Right. Yeah. Because, the Walmart Canada leaked Rage 2 and, mm-hmm. I don't know, kind of became a big thing on Twitter. Bethesda rolled with it and kind of unwittingly, they kind of, by confirming Rage 2, by joking about it on Twitter, they kind of confirmed like everything else that Walmart had leaked.
Yeah, that's credence to it. That's why you're never supposed to comment on rumors or speculation. That's why they have that stock line. Because if you comment on some things rather than others, then it by extension, it reveals even more than just that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I was disappointed, but yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a sense of, okay, yeah, that's cool. You know, all of the in-depth information on Smash was cool, but nothing, no real surprises really, from on the Nintendo front, at least not too much stuff that was really surprising. Nothing, no Megaton announcements that really took me aback.
Yeah, no Megaton. And I guess if you live, for Nintendo's releases, it might be a little bit disappointing, mm-hmm. like there might mm-hmm. just be Smash on the horizon for you or, Mario Tennis or, and other than that, like DLC packs.
Yeah, there was no Metroid Prime 4 footage or anything like that. There was no Animal Crossing, anything like that. So
yeah, that's Animal people Crossing, disappointed. I mean, Animal Crossing, I keep expecting it, because it's been ages since the 3DS game at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, you look at since Animal Crossing became a series on N64 originally in Japan, there's been a pretty regular release of those games, one per hardware generally, the proper traditional games. Obviously, we've had some product, the smartphone game and the Happy Home Designer and the board game for Wii U and all. But, I mean, actual Animal Crossing has not come out since 3DS, a long time ago now. You keep expecting to see it announced. But this is not the year, apparently. Well, unless it's a direct later in the year. We must keep that in mind these days, especially the fact that they did even brand this particular E3 video as a direct. Is like, they have more than one of these a year, and they break news to varying extents, but they will break news.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the Pikmin thing, of course, that we kind of jokingly referenced earlier, that continues to be MIA.
Yeah, there's no Pikmin game.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as Animal Crossing goes, it just, I guess it
people don't understand it because to most people it's like, you know, you could just crank out another Animal Crossing game seemingly quickly, you know? It's not it's something like, you know, like...
Well, and also just the fact I always keep thinking, you know, surely one was planned for Wii U, and they probably made a certain amount of progress towards it before, you know, it was clear that it wouldn't be worthwhile. And that might expedite things for Switch, but it certainly hasn't to this point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you would think that, you know, it doesn't have a, you know, crazy graphics engine or anything like that. You would think that, but yeah, I mean, maybe it's something like they did have it ready for Wii U and they just wanted to scrap it and go back to the drawing board with Switch.
Perhaps so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you never know. I mean, they may have had a better idea. Or maybe
it's possible. I imagine these sorts of things do happen, but I guess we'll see. We'll see how
they were like. No, we have to put out Mario Party first. No,
we'll
sit
see
down,
how,
guys.
We'll see how daring the final product feels. How much it makes you feel like they went back to the drawing board.
Yeah, exactly. I think people will be pissed if it's just like another like kind of like by the numbers Animal Crossing. They'll be like, why did we wait for this?
Because it's a big pillar of their successful consoles or handhelds anyway, you know, especially in Japan. So we keep expecting to see it, but we didn't see that. I guess you know the other part that's missing is kind of as alluded to, assuming as all indications that Mario Party would be a very poor vehicle for the online service. There is no such game. There's early after, you know, Smash Brothers is December, so that's a good while after. I mean, certainly it will help, you know, that it is afterwards. I mean, I don't know whether they'll do any kind of promos in terms of buy Smash Brothers and get a membership like on a trial, or you know, get it at a discount. But you'd like something a little more simultaneous of a safer, but there's any other kind of candidates that would get a Mario Maker sequel or other kind of online game. There isn't anything there, and predictably they didn't offer anything further about that because, as we said, it kind of seemed like they wanted to get that stuff out of the way before the spotlight in the games at this event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, personally, I'm not disappointed. I'm not over the moon, but it's kind of knowing that you've got a few Nintendo Directs in the future, you know, coming this year at some point. Like, no, it's never been so easy to live in the now with the Nintendo console, because games keep coming out, you know. If you are just living for Nintendo's releases, it's probably a little bit disappointing. But if you know if you're playing the indie games that are coming out on the eShop, there's plenty to keep you distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'm not in fear of having a shortage of things to play on Switch, that's for sure. I think it was always the amount of info that was swirling around before this one. I was kind of prepared to, you know, feel like, you know, that it may well be very much like you said, just down the middle kind of what you expected, and that broadly is what we got. The only sort of thing I would say is just goes back to what we mentioned earlier, just the format, the way they kind of the Smash Brothers info dump, I think, was inartfully done, even though I personally enjoyed it because I'm a freak.
You're the target audience.
Yeah, very much so. Very much. It's still ill advice because, like I said, if it's not coming out till December, they've got ages to roll that hype train.
It gives me time to brace myself to, you know, look at Rob's power meter that tells me exactly how much fuel is remaining into his hover. You know,
he's useful, I guess.
I'm sure it's going to be very helpful in the heat of the action, you know. Really going to be looking at that little LED thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I tell you what, it would have been a non-starter on 3DS, wouldn't it? So it's proving why you needed a HD portable to make this game possible. I mean, it just doesn't, and also just like I said, the way it's kind of cold open start showing some games that, yeah, they were, and I'm not that big when they like try too hard to like have connective tissue with like Reggie talking about going on a journey or whatever, but something to like knit it together and provide some context as to, I mean, they've probably had more sort of fleshed out and like thoughtful presentation for their like indies directs than this. Mm-hmm. This, you know, this kind of felt quite disjointed and slapped together, even if like the constituent parts were generally sort of pretty good, you know, kind of hit you know, did what they needed to do. It didn't feel very kind of very well kind of crafted or collated together into a whole piece. And then of course the fact that Smash Bros. Was just this huge great like brick at the end of it kind of weighing everything else down. it was
kind of strange when I was watching it, because you know I was at work, so I was flipping back and forth and I had the video going on in the background, and I came in probably maybe about 20-25 minutes in, and they were already on to Smash Brothers at that point. And I kept going back and forth, and I was like, they're still on Smash Brothers? 10 minutes would go by, they're still on it. Another 10 minutes, they're still on it. And then it was over. And I was like, what? That's it? Like, that's all there was? And so because I was also looking at live blogs to see the other stuff that came before it, and I was like, okay, cool, cool, cool. And then it was all Smash Brothers, and it was over. I was like, oh, all right. I guess that's it. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Like, as soon as it became clear that they would be saying a thing, like anything, something about each of the like 60 characters, or I don't know how many there are, but like, well, you could like see a counter.
I think they're at least up to 65.
Right.
Yeah, 64, so I think.
I just clucked in at work. Like, I was like, okay, my lunch break is over and I can get back to work. I don't need to, you know, keep watching this.
Yep.
I did like how, you know, Ridley scale issues aside, I do like how vicious he looks. That his attacks are, you know, every bit as sort of cruel as you imagine him being from his various appearances down the years, sort of like lancing people with his tail and smearing their faces in the ground and then throwing them and stuff. It does seem to be a cool kind of representation of that character, even if it's a little awkward. But you know, I mean, Bowser's way smaller than he typically is in, you know, his actual, you know, in-game kind of appearances in the Mario games as a boss, and I kind of like the fact that they decided to diversify with the Zelda characters and say it's okay to not have to have them be from different like aesthetics and different periods of the, you know, the franchise history, because it's generally been from Brawl to the Wii U and 3DS games, like where Twilight Princess is the aesthetic for those. But now you've got Ganondorf is obviously his Ocarina of Time kind of incarnation with the red cape, and Link with the blue Breath of the Wild look, and then Zelda the Link Between Worlds look, which is kind of a turn up for the books. Wasn't expecting that, but you know, you kind of thought they'd just follow suit and go with Breath of the Wild for her too, but no. And I like that. I like the feeling that it's like covering the big swath of Nintendo history rather than just like, oh well, all the Zelda characters have to look the same. I mean, because they didn't anyway. I mean, you've got Toon Link in there. Like, why not?
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
Get more diverse with the representations.
Mm-hmm. Now, what new stages were announced? I didn't see
totally
that.
Totally new. You look at the sort of the tower from Breath of the Wild, you know, where you go up and the map station kind of thing.
Yep.
Which did cool. not yep. seem all that interesting architecturally. You know, it looked pretty. You know, you get to see that big, beautiful overworld from Breath of the Wild. The musical possibilities are certainly something I'm interested in.
But it's just a circle, right?
Yeah. But the level itself is not anything particularly different. The Splatoon one was interesting though, because that's the Moray Towers level it's based on from the original Splatoon. It's got that very distinctive kind of you going up those or down those sort of zigzagging stairways. And you know, so it's based on that. But it's I guess you might think of the DK stage from Brawl. That was like that, but it's way more condensed. It's the thing about that DK stage is really spread out, like massive. So it kind of led to some very long games if he was going to play stock, or just some very kind of inactive games if he's going to play time. So that looks interesting. I like the look of that level. And again, you know, you've got all the so much Splatoon stuff to come in now. I'm sure they've got the assist trophy in there, and you know, the music, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of Splatoon things that you know, are going to kind of help give it a bit more of a substantially new feel, rather than just, you know, the Wii U 3DS games slapped together.
Yep, it's also compatible with GameCube controllers still.
And yes, it's also compatible with all existing Amiibos ready to use. I did not get it early, and then it got stupidly expensive for a while over here anyway, but then eventually it got actually rather cheap, and that's when I scooped it up, and it will come in handy.
It's also compatible with all of the existing Amiibos as well. So
Yeah. It'd be nice if they actually give you more to do with your little buddy character. You know, like if you want to go into like a co-op mode, like with your buddy character, rather than just fighting against it. I think that would be a good idea. But that's really something that we're not dealing with at this event, by the look of it, is what's the kind of single player or kind of co-op style challenge, sort of adventure modes, events, all-star, all that kind of, I mean, the ultimate sort of thing they're going for, this all, like, basically everything that's been in every Smash Brothers game ever, plus the kitchen sink thing. You would hope that they'd have all the kind of one-player type approaches they've tried over the years represented, with the possible exception of Subspace Emissary, because I can't see them be bothered to go with the cutscenes again. But gameplay-wise, you'd like to see all those kinds of things try in there, and more, hopefully.
Yep. Let's
all
see.
Right, well, oh, sorry.
Well, the one other interesting thing, not about Smash, but I read that Fortnite actually has voice chat without having an app. You can just use a normal headset with your, plug it into your Switch and use voice chat. And it's not live right now, but it's coming on the 14th, apparently.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Isn't
it? That's weird. Yeah, like if I don't know, that almost, that makes you wonder, like, if you, are you even going to need to pay for Nintendo's online service to keep playing Fortnite? Like, it kind of raises the question.
Yeah, and, yeah.
And if you don't, then why are you paying for online?
Yeah, that's
just
really
just
weird.
For Nintendo stuff, presumably.
And also, I mean, is voice chat stuff, is that just a per game kind of thing? Like, it kind of has been? I don't know. Very interesting. I mean, at least it shows that Nintendo isn't against voice chat at all. I mean, obviously they're
it seems that they're not forcing third-party games to go through the app route to do it. That they at least are at liberty to do it this way if that's what they want.
It is Fortnite. Right. They can call a lot of shots with that game. So.
Yeah, but also people have made the point that Nintendo's whole convoluted system for voice chat is less a voice solution and more of a let's, avoid letting kids hearing slurs.
Yeah, there's that, and I guess it offloads a certain amount of like strain on the Switch as well, but I mean...
Right.
I don't know how much that figures into the calculus, but I guess what John says kind of rings true to me, and that perhaps it's a case of because they wanted it for this very much this big game of the moment that Nintendo allowed it.
Yep.
All right. Well, I don't know. I'm done. Is there any?
Else? Nothing else for me, unless we want to go into impressions of other shows, but I don't really think it's not necessary.
Yeah, I've still got to catch up on the other stuff. I haven't really seen Sony stuff yet, because that was late last night here.
Yeah.
I saw Microsoft's, I think, was better than last year. They cut down on the, like, here's a car for some reason. Let's look at the car for a while.
There was definitely
it was more
less
just
of that.
games with that. You still had your exclusive voiceover, which I demand from all my press conferences these days. But yeah, that seemed pretty good. But I don't know about Sony. I've read some unflattering things, but I would like to see it for myself.
Yeah, I mean it's not terrible. It was just kind of weird because they were showing. I don't know why they didn't just do a Nintendo Direct style thing, because they had a bunch of people live in a theater. I kind of know why they did it. They were trying to immerse people into the games that they were showing. So, you know, part of the trailer for The Last of Us 2 was like set in a church where Ellie is dancing with her girlfriend or whatever. And so they brought people into this church, I guess, that resembled what was in the game. I think that was what they were going for. But watching it live was really weird, just because you were literally watching a crowd, no presenters, just a crowd watching a screen. And it was just really, really weird to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think Microsoft were better about it this year than other years, or than a lot of shows have been. But I feel like, yeah, I mean, Nintendo are better. Even, you know, we could talk about the Smash stuff dragging or whatever, but it's still way more dense and better off if you just eliminate the theater. You know, the theatrical element of it.
Yeah.
Banter and all this stuff. Just get that out of it and put it in a presentation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I just didn't think. And, you know, and there was a lot of, like, there was just a lot of downtime in Sony's, you know, Sony's stuff where you're just like, why are we staring at a big, massive black screen right now? Should there be something playing? And there was, like, all these kind of, like, they did it. They had, like, different, they were showing the stuff in, like, several different places, like, several different venues, I guess. So they would have, they're like, oh yeah, well, we were preparing the venue, so let's just sit here and talk for a minute about this game or that game. And it's like, what, don't you guys have this coordinated? Or, it was very weird. It was just extremely weird. And there was like a lot of humor that just fell flat. And then, you know, I mean, I talked about this on Twitter, but just some of the stuff that they show from particular games, like from The Last of Us, I don't know. It's like having that stuff shown in front of an audience is just really weird. It's like, you know, they show some clips of Ellie, like a guy attacking her with a pickaxe, and then she like cuts, she like chops the guy into the guy's neck and a bunch of blood spurts out. And I'm not against violent games at all, but it just seems weird the kind of stuff that Sony continually shows in its press conferences from games like that. It's like they show the most violent stuff. It's like, it's kind of like, am I supposed to clap at that clip?
Yeah,
especially out of context.
Yeah, like also, out of context. Right. And it's like she almost beheaded a guy and then they zoomed in on the wound as blood spurted out of it. Am I supposed to clap for that? Because it feels really...
It's weird. Anytime you put it in front of an auditorium of people who are being encouraged to cheer, it's like...
Yeah.
It seems like it should be crowd pleasing, but obviously I haven't played Last of Us, but it's going for the more straight up drama rather than please the crowd with the gore kind of stuff. So it does.
Yeah.
It's a weird fit, but
yes.
Right. And I've seen, you know, some games journalists talk about that and then they get huge pushback, right? Like Verge, Chris Plant wrote about like the contextless violence and how it was a big turnoff and how like why are people clapping? Like, this is so weird. And then you've got, I think they're called edgelords, who, you know, respond like, well, you know, I can't believe you get to be a games journalist. And like, you know, like, are you against, like, don't watch horror movies then? Like, this is a horror game and you should blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but this is, they're marketing this horror game. And like, when you're watching a trailer for a horror movie, it's not just a sequence of the most gruesome,
scenes, right?
That's called like, giving away the store in a horror show.
Right, yeah, yeah. Save that stuff for the people who actually pay for the ticket. Jeez.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's just, it's really weird. And I saw another thing on Twitter. Someone commented about how like every E3 seems to have kind of this theme. And I don't know if it's orchestrated or not, but like last year, it was a lot of bows and arrows. I looked up E3 stab neck. Apparently, that was a 2012 thing, so that's a little bit older than I thought. But I do remember one E3 where there was a lot of neck stabbing. This year, it seems to be like a lot of dead corpses hanging from trees.
Yeah.
So this is where we're at right now. Like, at least four different games have like Yeah, like you're just exploring, and there's like public executions and
It's
lynchings.
It was just weird. It was just, you know, I just felt kind of weird sitting there like watching that stuff. And it's like, okay, do they really have to show the part where they show a guy getting hung and the guy stabbing him while he's being hung? Like, and then this teenage girl, do they really have to show her getting punched in the face, hit with a pickaxe? It's just like, you know, I don't mind like playing this stuff, you know, like
you can imagine it could all make sense in the game itself, like
exactly,
you're playing
right?
it from start to finish by yourself, yeah. And you see in the narrative, like it could all be fit in, and it's, you know, you're immersed in it. But when it's like for a show, and it's just meant, oh, look how badass this looks, it's, you know, it's a different kind of response, you know, naturally. Mm-hmm. But I guess it is tough to show off that kind of thing any other way. I really certainly haven't come up with a better way of doing it yet. So there you go. I mean, they put, you know, I imagine they must be spending an enormous amount of money to make that game a reality. So they're not going to pull back on marketing it. You know, they really want to get there, you know, get value for money as far as the investment goes.
Yeah, it's just like for me, I just feel like you know, having played through the Last of Us with that game, there is violence like that in that game, but I feel like there's so much more to that game than that. Like, that's not what I think of when I think of that game.
Yeah,
you know,
I hope that next year's E3 theme can be like open fractures. I want to see.
You want to see that? You want to see the Mortal Kombat style where it X-rays and zooms in and shows the bone being broken? Bring that back.
Like, and the magnificent thing about that is that they could be showing like a baseball game, and you can still get open fractures. It's fantastic.
That's true. Yeah, so somebody got impaled at home base from a broken bat once.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's change the topic.
But, you know, I mean, it does remind me, like, one last thing, I guess. There was a few things at the Bethesda show that we don't know. You know, we talked about the fact that Bethesda have been, you know, pretty good about their stuff on Switch. Wolfenstein's coming out in a couple of weeks. You know, the new Colossus. But the next Wolfenstein game, the one that's going to be set in, you know, the Bizarro World version of the 80s is they haven't committed to platforms on that yet.
Really? But okay.
I guess we haven't had Switch ruled out of that either.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be PC, you know.
And of
Xbox
course
One and PS4.
Doom Eternal as well, the the sequel to the Doom reboot. So yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, the fact is, the scary thing is that in terms of like stuff like Xbox One and PS4, you know, I mean, they're going to be 5 years old at the end of this year.
Yeah.
I mean, so you wonder how much of an eye we start to get towards different hardware.
I mean, Microsoft mentioned that at the end. They're, you know, they didn't really announce anything, but they said, yeah, like we're looking at the next generation of Xbox consoles. So, you know, that's
yeah,
already
at the same time,
kind
of like,
thing.
Of course they are. Like, I'm sure Nintendo is also looking. But
everybody always is. It's just interesting they're a bit frank about it in that way, because usually you don't. You know, obviously, like, the Sony got a lot of kind of blowback on that, when it's like, was it your PS4's sort of king of the world? And they're like, oh, well, you know, we might be moving on from it. So it's like, don't say that.
Yeah, this is kind of weird, especially when you just released the PS4 Pro. I mean, same thing with Xbox One X, right?
That's the thing. This is the first cycle with that, you know, kind of iterative, you know, on the models and stuff. But that's going to be the thing, isn't it? I mean, we've had some nice third-party support so far with where ports are kind of possible, even though compromises have to be made. Right? I guess we'll see how long that lasts, to the extent, you know, that it already has.
Yeah, I mean, I think talking about Youngblood and Doom Eternal, I mean, I would expect them to come out on Switch at some point, like not day and date with the other ones, but probably lagging behind a little bit. But
I don't know how much it'll depend on the performance of Doom that's already out, and Wolfenstein that's coming. We'll have to see how well that goes.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's it for our E3 reactions. I don't know how to close this. So,
well, thank you, Guy. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, James, in absence. It's kind of great being able to sign off without James. I mean, you know, we can just cut it off right here.
People can send us their mail to It's the Podcast People at NintendoWorldReport.com.
It really does. It never gets old. I never realized how timeless that was going to be, but here we are.
So, what am I saying? RFN at NintendoWorldReport.com. Or you can also, you know, use the online form. Someone does that. I think there's one person who actually goes to the website to type up emails. But, yeah, and we'll... Is this it? Is this our E3 week podcast?
Well, certainly there'll be more coverage from the team on site thing. You know,
yes.
All the impressions and breakdowns to be read at NintendoWorldReport.com. But yeah, there'll be more audio as well, I'm sure, from the team. I guess that but this will be it for us, you know, in the cheap seats.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we get, like, check out the YouTube for Nintendo World Report. Jared Rosenberg is a veteran of taking E3 footage, and we seem to get a lot of retweets and accolades from other journalists and people just like, okay, like, look at, you know, Nintendo World Report's excellent footage of this game that you want to see. So check that out, and yeah, lots of impressions on the website, and probably more podcasts than you can listen to in a week.
Yep. So. Greg, do we have any closing music for this one, or is there any?
Well, I was thinking actually maybe if we've got time to add it, because this is a very quick and dirty post-production process, we could go with the Nemesis Ridley theme from Brawl, considering he's finally got his ass in the game for real.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll see what I can do.
All right. With that, thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Later.